been a long time coming, yet it's a very much reduced size document, as we saw to the previous review. So gone from a 290-page detailed examination to a possibly not quite as detailed 30-page examination on lots of different areas of fisheries management. So it's a little disappointing, but again, it's only been 2 days in and industry is still trying to absorb what this will mean for the catch sector as well as post-harvest.
How willing will you as the representative body and fishers more generally in Queensland be to be involved in another round of consultation coming off the back of extensive consultation that took place as part of the original review?
We'd be silly not to, because these are our businesses and these are our livelihoods, and the majority of members I represent along the coast and in the Gulf represent primarily small, micro to small businesses, and a lot of them are family-based businesses, multi-generational fishers in there that want to keep plying their trade and want to keep providing seafood to the community. This is our industry. Yeah, it's sort of, here we go again, but you know, we've got a 10-week period to do it, and I'm still going out to our fisheries committees to ply through that. But as an example, the one thing that the MRAM report said is that you should not use fisheries reallocation or fisheries closures in particular to manage your fisheries. Yet on page 25 of this new green paper document, it says they want to keep and keep implementing net-free zones. Again, based on no science, no plan for anything other than the current government's wish list that by removing net fishermen, suddenly there will be fisheries meccas created and the tourists will come and, you know, the economy will be saved by getting rid of net fishermen. It's a nonsense, and that's where we're at. Yeah, we've lost areas and keep losing areas for no good reason, and there are over 200 closures already to commercial fishing. How many more closures do we need? They're not based on science. You know, the closures that were in the net-free zones, for example, weren't based on good science. They were based on politics, which was regrettable then and is still regrettable now, because it's in the policy document and it's meant to be a fisheries management document, not a political one.
In 2014, the former minister, John McVeigh, said enough is enough, and he instigated that wide-ranging review of the fisheries management situation in Queensland. Now, 2 years later, the minister says the conversation is just beginning. Who's right here, and what confidence do fishermen have, ultimately, that there will be an outcome?
It's an ongoing discussion. Where she decides to take it as the minister is up to her. You know, we're prepared to have that conversation, but I think what we're less prepared to do is to wear the hits and all the pain that might come with changing fisheries management. And again, what does that look like? Because at first glance, reading the document, the questions are very motherhoody or very high-level strategic questions, so much so that my members are already coming back with hundreds of questions about what does this mean? Where is the more technical detail that we need on a fisheries by fisheries basis? And it's not in that document. And to say that we'll get to that once it becomes government policy, well, then the cart and the horse have bolted. You know, we don't. What can we help to implement at that point? So yeah, it's. Thank you for inviting us to have the conversation, but conversation's been going on for 2 years, and this government could have chosen to grab that MRAG report for all it was worth and said, right, let's continue the work and let's just get something done. But they chose to do something else, which is this green paper.